I really can't stay.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has
been hoping that you drop me.
So very nice.
I'll hold your hands, they're just like
my
ice.
My mother will start to
beautiful,
worry.
What's your...
And father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace
so roar. Really, I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't.
Well, maybe just a half a drink.
Put
more.
Some records on while I
the neighbors might...
Okay. I just couldn't resist it, man. It just kind of had me in the mood, you know?
It is cold.
Obviously, Fish and Frank here and Radio Fishing. And we're going to kind of switch it up today. We got Captain Carl in the chair across from me. Robert's homesick. Sniffling, fever, achy, cold. You know, hopefully... not any of the ill effects of stomach stuff, but I think he's actually just, he's really sick. He actually went to the doctor the other day.
Yeah, he didn't sound very good this morning.
Yeah, I was, you were co-hosting on 92.9 Kicks Country on the fishing show there.
Yep.
It's on Saturdays from 7 to 9, and I called in. It was really weird because I walked out on the front porch. I do better with fishing when I'm talking outside. I don't know why, but, you know, sitting in the house in front of the fire pit.
Well, you were looking at the water.
You know, I looked out across the water, and all of a sudden all these fish were hitting, and it was crazy.
That's a good sign.
I mean, big splashes, and they had to be a good, you know, they're hundreds of yards away, and I could see them very clearly. I couldn't see the fish, though, but... have you noticed fish? Because it was rafts and rafts of ducks out there.
Yes.
Lots and lots of ducks. And it fits right in because we're going to be getting to the Peace River right away. But all them ducks. Do you notice bait or fish around the ducks?
I notice that the bait hangs around them. And not all the time. It's not all cases that there's fish there too. But sometimes there is fish because there is always a lot of bait around the ducks.
I wonder if it's because of duck poop. And maybe just because ducks have a lot of lice and, you know, bugs and stuff and little things falling off of the ducks and the pooping and all that.
Well, what do the ducks eat?
Grass. I think they eat grass and probably get, you know, some shrimp and other stuff, you know, down in the grass. But they feed on the bottom. I don't really know what ducks eat. It's got to be some kind of, I mean, I know when we fed ducks, it was, you know, like chicken food,
yeah.
Which is...
Well, I didn't know if maybe that's the reason why they're always around bait is because maybe they're eating a bait. I don't know.
I think they would eat it. I don't know if they would or wouldn't. I should know this stuff. I grew up duck hunting. I mean, literally, every year I went duck hunting. I had a retriever dog and, you know, a double barrel shotgun and duck hunted up until I was in my early 20s, you know. Mm-hmm. But then I came to Florida and I said, nah, I'm not... duck hunting anymore. If I still lived up north, I would definitely duck hunt each year. Duck and geese. The only thing I want to hunt for is turkey. Well, I can't see that well without glasses, yeah. You know. And in Florida, you better be a duck ID perfect, because you shoot the wrong duck, you're in big trouble.
Yes.
You can only shoot these, and there's so many different ducks, and thanks to duck hunters everywhere, there's lots and lots of ducks now. I mean, if without the duck hunters, there'd be no ducks. It's kind of cruel to be kind.
Yeah. I mean, we do get a lot of them down here, though.
Yeah, and I haven't heard anybody hunting recently.
I have been. I've been seeing the guys every day. I'm putting a boat in the water. They're taking their boats out, and they all have their limits.
Where is that, out in Placida? Or?
No, some of them are going up the Peace River. They said there's only, it's very one species, though. I forgot exactly what species they were saying that's up there. I think it's the blues.
Yeah.
Bluebills. But if you go over towards the Myakka, there's a big variety of ducks.
Yeah. I remember watching. I felt bad for some guys. They bought, if you were going to go duck hunting in Florida on the over by Hog Island or Myakka River, don't bring all the reeds and fancy duck gear and all that kind of stuff.
Palm
because
fronds.
Yeah, palm fronds, any of that. I mean, because it freaks the ducks out. And if you're going to go out and you really want to camouflage your boat, just sit there with fishing poles. Because I'm not kidding you. They come right up to the boat while I'm fishing. But the guys with all the duck gear on and the blinds and the guns and all that. I mean, put the gun in the bottom of the boat, hold a fishing pole, try and catch some fish. And when the ducks show up there, you get your gun.
Yeah.
But I think that's way better because I felt bad. These guys, they must have spent a fortune on their boat. I mean, it was everything you could think of. Reeds and camo netting. And these guys were there. The ducks go, they get within 100 yards of a whoop, turn around, they haul butt. And I'm sitting over there in the fishing boat, and they're landing like 20 feet away. Yeah, so if you want to camouflage yourself for duck hunting, just take your fishing stuff with you. You know, hide the guns in the bottom of the boat.
I remember there was one time it was me and Greg, we were in the cutoff, and we were fishing this one bank, and you could see the guys, they're sitting on a couple hundred yards on another bank, and they had palm fronds set up and everything, and no ducks are going over by them. They were all landing by us. And me and Greg were just sitting there fishing.
Yep. I actually felt bad. I tried to, you know, run the boat around to maybe send some ducks over the top of them. Nope, they left turn, right turn, you know. They were like, wow, no, this ain't good. They got guns over there. So that was funny. But up on the Peace Water, Peace River, M-I-S-T-E, mystery fish hitting early near ducks. What else? Not I, you idiot. That would have been a whole different word there. Definitely not D-I-C-K. Yeah. It's definitely D-U-C-K-S. All right.
It's a good thing you caught that.
Yeah. That would have been good. Yeah. But hey, you know, I mean, there's probably those out there hitting too. I don't know. Anything else you can talk about up on the Peace River?
The redfish bite's been actually pretty decent up there. Shrimp on a jig head or free line of shrimp around all your docks, or if you know where there's a deeper mangrove wall. There's been a lot of redfish up there. Pretty good consistent bite. A lot of small, really small snappers too. Like,
you know,
the annoying size.
I was talking about that, and this started several years ago with all these, you know, gazillions of little mangrove snapper everywhere. And yet we rarely see the 12, 14, 15 inch. I mean, Terry got one up on the Peace River a while back, but it's an oddity.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking, you know, what happens to them all? Because there's literally thousands, if not tens of thousands, of tiny mangrove snapper. And then you get thinking about it and how good the snapper fishing is in the Gulf of Mexico.
Well, I think, you know, a lot of, because like I've run into the problem over the years where we're catching those little snappers and my people are reeling them in slow and here comes a big snook.
Right.
Tries to eat them. I mean, I've had big snook try to eat those little rat reds too.
Oh, absolutely.
So
they,
I mean,
they eat armored catfish. They're going to eat anything. But I think it's, we've never talked about or never discussed it, but I think mangrove snappers are doing the exact same thing as gag grouper, Goliath grouper, redfish, shrimp, tarpon, and they're another one that's growing up here in the backcountry and then getting big and going to the Gulf. I mean, it's got to be. It's the only explanation because for the last 5-6 years, we've had unbelievable populations of mangrove snappers, but yet no big ones in the harbor. But you go right out in the Gulf, and they're everywhere.
Mm-hmm. You don't get a small one out there.
So it's got to be they grow up back here and go out. I don't think there's ever been a study made of it, but I'm...
I think that makes sense.
You know, sometimes direct observation science is the best way to go. I see this here, and I see that there. And, okay, A and B sometimes equals C, or 1 plus 1 equals 2. It doesn't have to be 1 plus 1 equals Q. You know?
I mean, I've never caught a 6 or 8 inch snapper offshore.
So, that's the only thing that makes any sense. I know we're probably going on a little too much about that, but it's just kind of one of those weird things after 30-some years in the business and out here fishing Charlotte Harbor. I started fishing in 1980. You grew up fishing here. Yeah. You literally spent your whole life fishing here, and it sounds reasonable.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, total sense, to be honest with you. Because, I mean, we do have a large number of small snapper.
All right. That's going to take us down to I-75, down around there. What's going on down there?
You know, right at nighttime, if you hit those lights, there's been some snook, some pretty good-sized snook, right there at the lights of the bridge, the wood bunkers. There's also been a few big black drums sitting there. You know, use crabs for the black drum. We've been throwing those big storm paddle tails for the snook.
Oh, the storm paddle tails working up there, mm-hmm. too?
Yep. The darker color, the bunker.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm, that's a very versatile bait. I mean, I use that on a lot of different species.
All right. Okay, and takes us down to 41. What's going on down there?
I haven't done very good there lately, this past week.
Yeah, anything at all?
No, kept catfish. I have been hearing people catching trout between the bridges, though.
All right, well, I can put that in.
Kale said that they were catching trout over there.
Okay. I type along trying to get the basic ideas on the written report. It's funny how many people read the report but don't bother to listen to Radio Fishing, where you get so much more information. Because it's definitely a lot easier to type than it is to talk. Okay, Lashley Pier, possible trout?
Trout. There's been snook at the base of the pier. You know, most of them are on your smaller size, but there has been quite a few snook hanging out there.
Yeah, they like going between. They like, you know. Oh, gee, many crickets. Boy, I just. It's just amazing how badly I spell. They slide into that boat basin in some of that deeper water because mm-hmm. they dredged that boat basin out a while back. So they like getting in there. They like going shallow when the sunshine comes up, and then they go deep as it gets dark. So, hey there.
Hi.
So, Lashley Pier, good possibility, way to go out and try and do that. What's going on at Bayshore Pier?
Nothing.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything. So, well, while we got you here, what's freshwater report? Catching a crappie? Yeah. Okay. Catching them minnows or little jigs?
Don't know.
Don't know. Okay. All right. Well, that's going to take us over to the Port Charlotte Canal system. What's going on in the Port Charlotte Canals?
There's a lot of fish in the Port Charlotte Canals. There's a lot of smaller, eaten-sized black drum over there right now. The sheep's head bites halfway decent over there, too. If you like throwing zooms, the snook bite has been very good the further you get back towards, like...
Are you using jerk bait?
Yeah, the split tails. If you get back towards the Flamingo and O'Hara waterway back there, there's been a lot of snook and quite a few juvenile tarpon. It's a far drive for a boat, but...
Where is it? Back up in the O'Hara Manchester?
Yeah, almost all the way back there, almost like the Flamingo T Street Canal, where the O'Hara dumps into that.
Yeah.
It's a great place to fish back there from a jobbing boat or a kayak.
I used to drive up T Street and slide a boat in, and I had a little 8-foot aluminum boat, and I had a trolling motor on it. And I loaned that to Billy, and he hasn't called back. His gas cans are still at the house. You know, he borrowed it to change something on his motor. Huh.
Yeah, it's a pretty good fishery back there. I mean,
but I would take freshwater shiners and put them on it and just troll with the freshwater shiners, whether they were alive or dead. Used to spin the line up real bad. Yeah. I learned to use a ball bearing swivel because with the electric motor and the freshwater shiners, but I would catch snook and tarpon. Just everything back there.
Nobody really goes back there because it's far to drive a boat all the way back there.
Oh yeah, if you're coming in from the harbor. That's a long ride. It from where you come in by Port Charlotte Beach up the Ackerman and all the way around to the back end of that, it's got to be a 45-minute ride at the speeds we have to go. Going over to Elgin, hearing anything about the pier?
Elgin's been doing pretty good on the snapper and the sheep's head. There's been a few random triple tail hanging out, just off of Elgin Pier on the crab traps there. Most of your triple tail are on the smaller size, but there are you know, some decent ones over there.
Yeah, I'll add the triple tail thing when we get more to the Miami River.
And there's also a truck over there too.
Now, what is it?
I don't know. Okay, I don't know.
Now, this is going to bring us over the Miami River area. Triple tail on crab buoys. Got to be more specific. Crab trap. But, all right, and a truck on the shore. I mean, that's the weirdest place to see a pickup truck. It's several hundred feet back up, away
going
from
towards
the
locks.
How did they even get down there to get on the bridge?
I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense because there's no drivable access down to there that I know of.
No, there's not. I don't know how he got down there or
because
what he was doing down there.
The truck is facing the locks. It's not facing Elgin. So he didn't come in from over by the locks or something because they had some construction roads over there, and which I would have thought, unless he was able to turn around, just got stuck going back.
I don't know what he was thinking, but there's a truck there.
I'm thinking he's not getting his truck back.
Oh, probably not.
You know, my first thought was, that truck ain't going anywhere. And if it is, they're going to have to put it on a barge and float it out of there. And that's going to be really expensive.
Well, they're going to have to get it out no matter what. Because you got to think transmission fluid, oil, gas, steering.
Yeah, all the fluids in the truck can't be left there. So somebody's going to have to go there. The marine contracting group's got that big crane on the barge. They could go over and pick it up with that crane and put it on their barge and bring it back. But outside of that one, that's the only rig I know of around here who could actually pick that up.
Yeah.
Because what is CETO going to do? The state doesn't have any equipment for that. So the owner of that truck is going to be in for one heck of a bill. He better hope it was stolen.
He better.
Otherwise, he's got big bucks coming his way. So, South Gulf Cove, what's going on there?
I haven't.
Can you imagine? Would the insurance company even cover that? I mean,
I don't know.
Hopefully, he's got really good full coverage insurance, like the Premium Excellent plan. But it looks like an old truck, and chances are he don't have insurance for that. So, anyway, South Gulf Cove canals.
I haven't heard anything up in there.
Okay. It takes us down to the West Wall. What's going on there?
You know, there's a lot of fish on the West Wall right now. This time of year, it can be very hard to fish, though, because that West Wall is shallow to begin with. And with these negative tides, it makes it very hard to fish that wall. But when its tide gets so low, those fish are dumping into those creeks. You know, like Trout Creek, Oyster Creek, No Name Creek. Get in there and use a shrimp. Shrimp on a jig head or free line shrimp. You're going to catch sheep's head, snapper, redfish, snook. And you're even going to catch trout up in there too. But when the water's low, 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 all those fish are getting in those creeks. Those creeks are deeper.
Yeah, that's literally one of the tricks I used to use. But like you, I was like you. I would jump out of the boat, get all my peoples to balance the boat just as flat as possible, and literally have to push it in. And once I get up into those creeks, and man, it was fishing in a barrel. But I would say half the time I could push half, three quarters of the way to there, and that was it. We were done. the boat wasn't going any further than that.
But there's a lot of fish in those creeks right now.
All right. Cape Hayes, what's going on down there?
You got a few flounder sitting there on the inner, deeper trough along the mangroves. You still have some snook hanging out there, too, with them. Be honest with you, the trout fishing is starting to really get good there on Cape Hayes, right on the outside of the bar. Most of the trout I've been getting have been in that 2 feet of water. They're sitting pretty close to that sandbar.
Yes.
Dean's on the phone.
Alright, hang on just a second. Okay. Okay, we got a phone call with a bunch of people come back. We were talking about flounder, trout fishing there at Cape Hayes, and that's really good in about 2 feet of water, you were saying.
Yep. It seems like this, especially the better trout, they're sitting right on the edge of that bar. I don't know if it has a lot to do with all those dolphins that are hanging out there, or if they're sitting there trying to get warmer, but they seem to be sitting in shallower water. And anywhere I'm fishing right now that I'm fishing for trout, I'm using those Zoom split tail flukes, the all white pattern, wigging them weedless, working them very, very slow.
What's going on in Bull Bay, Turtle Bay?
A lot of redfish in Bull Bay. If you go a little over there by the clam farms, there's been a lot of redfish on those islands right there surrounding the clam farms. The trout fishing is doing very good in that deeper part of the clam farms too.
Now, what was that?
The trout just off the clam farms where that deeper water is, the trout are doing very good there.
Yeah, and you were saying something else?
All those islands that are surrounding the clam farms, those redfish are all over, scattered on all those islands. Shrimp is the number one choice, and then cut pinfish.
Okay, and then, let's see, Capes Reef, anything out there?
I went out there the other day, and I was looking, and there was a bunch of birds, there was stuff blowing up, but I couldn't get a hit. I'm not sure what was blowing up, kind of like your situation this morning.
Right.
There were fish there, I just couldn't get anything to eat what I was throwing.
Yeah, I don't know what the heck that would be with them blowing up and busting. It's like this morning, I was literally watching one fish did a big side swipe, and then a big slash surface, and there were several just blow-ups where, you know, boom on the surface of the water. It was really crazy. I don't know what it was, but Jack's would probably be the best explanation
up there. Yeah, I'm not sure if it was mackerel out there on the reef or ladyfish or what, but there was fish blowing up.
Sometimes they just won't go.
They wouldn't eat what I was throwing.
Yeah. All right. Gasparilla Sound from that whole area from Devilfish all the way up towards Placida.
Your trout fishing doing very well around Devilfish, Sandfly, that little island just north of Sandfly where all the birds hang out. Trout fishing is phenomenal around that. All the way to the outside of Rabbit. If you get up in Whitting Creek, you could literally sit in Whitting Creek right now and catch fish all day. All you have to do is get up as far as you can and float out with fishing all those deeper holes. All those deep holes are full of redfish and good-sized trout right now. Gold spoons, paddle tails, the DOA paddle tails are working very well. Shrimp under a jig head or shrimp under a float's also doing very well. But there's a lot of fish that are holding up in those deeper holes, especially when this tide gets really low. Those fish have to go where the water is, so they're going in all those deeper holes in Whitting Creek.
Yeah, and it just is a constant this time of year. And, you know, we keep talking about it, but this is literally the best time of year to learn stuff. It's freezing cold, but northeast winds out of the east and with some north in it, blow the water out of here all through those little passes that feed Charlotte Harbor and won't allow the water to come back in. Mm-hmm. It gets lower and lower and lower, and we have a foot less water, actually 6 inches to a foot less every day in the winter than we do in the summer, just from the moon and the curve of the earth and all that other kind of stuff. So this is a great time to learn, and that way when you get back on the water, but take a pair of binoculars with you. You need the binoculars because you got to look over the flats, pick landmarks out, because you're not going to be able to set your GPS, because most of them you can't get to.
Yes.
You know, you just idle in very, very slowly and use your trolling motor, and don't take bait. Just take a lure or two, because otherwise you get so involved in fishing, you forget to find the holes and learn stuff.
And then, like, right now, there is a lot of fish, redfish, that are in there tailing.
Yeah.
I messed up twice recently running in there with my outboard. Soon, like, I was the first one in there, I might have been the only one that could get it, was able to get in there at the time, but I ran in there with my outboard, and as soon as I ran in there, you didn't see nothing pushing no more.
Right.
So then what I did after the two times I messed up, I took the long way, I went through Bull Bay, and I came up into Whitting Creek and just floated out. And you could see redfish tailing all over the place. But as soon as that first boat drives through there, they're sitting down. They're not
showing themselves. Yeah, fish are not particularly bright. They're just smarter than a rock. But they learn that the sound of an outboard means hide.
Yep.
You know, if you can be quiet, you can catch a lot of fish out there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't even really need to use your trolling motor, because we've been having a lot of northeast wind. So if you get up in there, and you could use that wind just to float you out.
That's the best way, because even electric motor will spook when it's real, real quiet. That hum of the electric motor, I mean, I've turned my live wells off. Make sure you turn your depth finder off.
Yes.
No depth finder, you know, live well if you have to. But, you know, it's the best. The quieter you get, the more fish you're
going to catch. One of them stickets. I turn the sticket around, and that's when I'll use the push to guide myself with the wind over those holes.
Right. Use it as a kind of a steering push pole. Mm-hmm. All right. Going up to Placido, what's going on around the trestle and the pier there?
The sheep's head bite has been getting better and better around the trestles. If you could find a spot on there, you're probably going to catch sheep's head, but there's boats there almost every single day. Around all your docks is doing very well. You know, the grouper are, I mean, they're closed now, but the grouper are starting to push on your docks. There's also redfish on your docks, too. You know, I've been using a lot of pinfish for the redfish and the grouper. Shrimp for my snapper and my sheep's head. And I use pieces of shrimp when I'm targeting sheep's head.
Yeah, I do, too. I peel a shell off, and I just thread the soft meat over the hook, and it does much better.
Yep. Because if you use a whole shrimp, they're going to grab the part that's not in the hook and pull it off, and then it's all you can eat buffet for them. So that's why I just use a little piece for them, and they have to bite the hook when you're only using a small piece of bait.
Right, because I hide the whole hook and just have a little tiny bit of the point sticking out. Coming up to Stump Pass, Lemon Bay, what's going on up there?
Lemon Bay's trout fishing is going crazy right now. I mean, that's probably some of the best trout fishing in this whole area we have.
Are they on the flats? Or
yeah, they're on the flat. They're all the grass flats, north and south of Tom Adams. I've been getting the best reports up there by the kayak launch behind Middle Beach. That's been doing very well for the redfish and the trout. Also, you know, there's a lot of redfish mixed in on the docks over there by Ski Alley. Been targeting them all with shrimp.
Okay. And, oh, God, I'm trying to type fast, and my fingers are so cold. I think I should have brought that extra heater in here. My fingers are cold. I'm having a hard time typing. I've got to get all this updated. It really messed me up not being able to get on the website for 10-12 days while they were moving it over. And it's still not coming up on all the search engines and stuff like that. And so I've got a lot of work to do getting the website reset, rebuilt, redone. But hopefully it's working for most people. All right. What about the pier there, Tom Adams Bridge, Anger Pier?
They've been catching some pretty decent-sized snapper. And they've also been getting some nice sheep's head there. There's been a few oddball redfish caught. Nothing really to harp about, but I mean, there has been a few redfish caught off that pier.
Okay. All right. That's going to take us out in the Gulf of Mexico. I don't know how you'd have any reports from out there. Anybody been out there?
I haven't been out there in this past week.
Yeah.
Before that, offshore was. But
nobody knows what's going on out there. It's been too windy, too rough, and too cold. So, too windy, rough, and cold.
I mean, I do know that the fish were moving in. I was in about 40 feet of water prior to this week.
Let me go on fishandfranks.com here. I'm going to do the weather and tide button. And I think the Gulf temps are around 60 right now, looking at it. going down a weather and tide button. Key West at 67.1 is normally 69. Naples at 59.2, it's normally 66. And St. Pete at 57, and it's normally 62. So with St. Pete at 57 and Naples at 59, we're in that, you know, it's cold.
Cold, yes.
60 degrees. 68 to 72 for King Mackerel. So the King Mackerel all headed south. They're down there. I don't know what temperature the tuna like. Now, a week ago you said you were out. What were you doing in that 40-foot?
We caught, you know, we were catching big lane snapper, big mangroves. We hooked up a couple monster AJs. I mean, they're very good fishing in about 40, 45 feet of water.
So, well, hopefully that's going to be the case when we are able to, somebody's able to get back out there and check it out.
We mainly use shrimp when we were out there that day.
The rain we had, a little bit of good news is it brought it up to 2.25 feet in Arcadia. It's supposed to be running 275 cubic feet a second. It's running 265, so we're up to average levels. That's going to do great for keeping the red tide out of the harbor. That little bit of extra fresh water should not add to the red tide, but should kill most of it, which is the only thing that really kills red tide at this point is river runoff, freshwater runoff. How about the passes? You heard anything from Venice?
Nothing from Venice.
Okay. Captiva, little...
Captiva, there's quite a few sharks hanging around Captiva. Quite a few bull sharks. Mullet has been the best bait for them.
Okay. Sandbars, bulls?
I've been mainly hearing about all the bulls. They've been some
How
pretty
about,
decent sized
redfish bash.
I haven't made okay. it to that one.
Boca? Boca?
Boca kind of went dead after yep. this past week. There was some good fish there, but.
All right, if you're going to walk along the beach, if you're crazy enough to want to walk along the shore right now, is there a possibility of anything?
I mean, you probably got a good chance of whiting still.
Okay.
Pretty sure majority of all the snook are gone off the beaches.
Yep.
Any
flounder out there?
You might have a chance of flounder. You might also have a chance of some pompano.
All right. Okay. And Punarassa Sanibel. What's anything down there?
I haven't got a chance.
Okay. Clusatchee River. The only thing I've heard of some of the guys is near the mouth there's a lot of trout and snook in the slow zone, and up by the ramp where the big paddle boats dock, there's, you know,
Sword Point has some pretty nice sized sheep's head on it right now. That is about the only thing that I've heard from down there.
SWO Sword Point. Sorry about that, boys and girls, but I got to type while I do this. It's sheep head. I don't know what the hell that noise was.
<I don't know.
laughs> All right, it didn't like my typing, I can tell you that. Matt Lachey, any good news there?
There has been quite a few redfish in Matt Lachey. There has been a lot of flounder around all your oyster bars in Matt Lachey with some nice sheep's head. Shrimp is your number one bait. Also using crabs for the redfish.
All right.
It seems like the west side of Matt Lachey is doing a lot better than the east side of Matt Lachey right now.
Okay, option. All right. Pine Island Sound, anything out there?
There are quite a few redfish over there by the Spanish House.
Now, is the Spanish House more Boquilla? I would say, because
yeah,
it's right
I guess,
there.
Yeah.
Anything further down in the sound? Right,
you could look over by Mondongo and Wood Key and Big Wood Key and Little Wood Key. There's some a lot of redfish hanging around there. If you find those deeper holes on the point of the islands, there's been quite a few snook hanging out in those deeper holes.
All right, have snook. Yeah, but I'm going to say the Spanish House is more Jug Creek Boquilla here. Out in front of the Spanish House, if I could type the way I talk, in front of the Spanish House, lots of reds. What are the reds hitting on out there?
Cut pinfish. There's an oyster bar right behind it, and there's a deeper trough between that oyster bed and the sandbar. And that's where a lot of those redfish are hanging out, right between the sandbar and the oyster bed.
Okay. But
cut pinfish on the bottom is the way to go.
Going over to Burnt Store, Two Pines?
I haven't made it that far.
Okay. Let's see. What about the east side? What's going on the east side?
East side is, there's a lot of fish on the east side. There's a lot of redfish. All your redfish are hanging out like three or four set the islands back. They're sitting pretty far back right now, a lot of the redfish. You know, the way I'm targeting them right now is I'm dead sticking everything. I'm putting live shrimp or a dead shrimp on a jig head, throwing it out there, letting it sit, or I'm using crabs. You know, the trout fishing's been halfway decent, but you have to be literally right on the inside of the bar.
Yeah, that's weird. The how the trout just hanging out right inside the bar.
Yeah, I started the other day where we normally do, right on the outside of the islands, right where it's the deepest, and we couldn't get a trout at all. Caught a couple catfish. I actually called up another one of my buddies because I seen him out a couple hundred yards down from me, and I asked him if he was doing any good. He said no, and then I actually slid out right on the inside of the bar, and then we started catching trout.
But that's where I was finding the big ones a while back. We were getting little one, or you know, 12 inches up by the islands, and then little tiny ones in the middle, and then 12 inches, and we got back up by the bar, and we were getting 18, 20 inch mm-hmm. redfish. So it's still holding that way, and I don't know what's brought that on.
There's quite a few sheep.
The smaller ones have just gone. All right, where are the sheephead?
You know, there's a lot of oyster beds right there just north and just south of Pirate Harbor, and that's where I'm seeing all these big, big sheephead. They're hanging out right around all the little oyster beds. But there's quite a few. Every single oyster bed I'm pulling up has at least 10 big sheephead on it, with a bunch of little ones, but each oyster bed is holding good sheephead.
Yeah. I wonder if clams would be a good bait for that there.
They use them on other coasts for them.
Yeah, I'm just thinking if you could, you know, we sell those frozen mm-hmm. clams. If you put a little bit of clam on there, a little tiny piece of shrimp meat, and that to me, I think, would be a really
that
good
might, yeah.
Way to try for the sheephead. Moving up to Alligator Creek, skating rink area, what's going on up there?
What's that creek just south of it?
Oh, the one just south of Alligator Creek. Some people call it Rocky Creek. I call it Sneaky Creek because it's so hard to find.
That's holding quite a few redfish. We were in there the other day, and we were sitting there for about 20, 30 minutes catching sheep's head and snapper, and then all of a sudden it just stopped. And then it was just redfish after redfish after redfish. You know, shrimp on a jig head, Rockport Rattler is what I'm using. Either the pink or the fool's gold color. Just sending shrimp to the bottom, because that's a deep creek. On all those bends, it's deep in there, and it's holding a lot of fish. If you go over by the skating ring, right now there's not a lot of water up in there, so those fish aren't hanging up inside. They're hanging out in the troughs out in the flats. It's kind of hard to target those fish out there, but what I've been doing is I've been taking that Sidewinder spoon, and I actually made it weedless. I took that Sidewinder treble hook off, and I actually put it a weedless hook, single hook on the back of it, and that's it's been working very, very well.
That's a really good, because it's a great spoon, but with that treble hook, it's tough. But we sell those bass hooks that have the weedless little
that's what I put on.
Clip on them.
Yep.
And that would really, that's a really good, smart idea.
Mm-hmm.
Never thought about it, but that would be kind of the bomb right there.
Yeah, it's working very, very well.
Great.
Now, if you could get to those little feeder creeks, like if you don't mind wading right now, which for me it's way cold for that, but
yeah, I mean, I'm old and wrinkly and shriveled up anyway. And I mean, I can't even imagine there would be no possibility of ever finding anything again.
Nope,
I get in that water, start walking up the shore, things would disappear, and I don't think I'd ever find them again.
Yep. But if you walk up to those little feeder creeks along the from Mangrove Point all the way to Alligator Creek, those feeder creeks are deep.
Oh yeah, they're very deep.
And if you
walk those are up actually to them, mosquito ditches.
Yeah, if you walk up to them and throw your shrimp or a little pinfish up in the middle of them, you're gonna catch some very nice fish right now. Very nice redfish, that's snapper, right, and sheep's head. But yeah, you gotta walk to it.
You know what I always wanted was one of those 6-wheel buggies. You know, that
yes,
went in the water, and you know, you could drive it and float with it, put yep, a trolling motor on one of those, and be able to just, you know, drive over there, because you could put it, drive right in at ponds,
yeah,
and just go over
right down the wall,
go down the wall. And I mean, how awesome would that be?
Never have to get wet either.
No. Okay, well, let's see, what's going on at Ponce de Leon Park over there? Anything?
Is that inside Ponce in the canals?
Yeah, or? Ponce de Leon. If you were fishing from the pier there.
Mm. There's quite a few snapper. Right there at the pier itself, there's quite a few snapper and quite a few sheep's head. They're sitting right next to the structure, though.
That's the weird part. People don't get, when you go to Ponce, you don't throw out.
Yeah, they're trying to hit the other bank on the other side.
And which is fine if you're going to snook fish. But if you're looking for activity and fun, cast out about 4 to 6 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're standing on the pier, if you get there on a clear, when the water's real clear, lay down on the pier and look, you know, shade your eyes out, get your polarized glasses on, and you'll see where that dirt comes out a little bit and drops off from where they dredge, and those fish are hanging on that drop off. And everybody I see goes out there, and the first instinct is throw out as far as they can, and there's almost nothing there
every time they do it.
Yeah. And if I want to cast a long distance, there's a piling on the other side right by where the trees end. Around that piling is a pretty deep hole. If you can get real close to that piling, you've got possible spade fish, sheephead, yep, snappers, all kinds of stuff right by that piling. But then that other bank just slopes off.
Yeah.
It's not very good fishing there. It's way better right, I mean, just a couple feet off the fishing pier.
And then, like, if you go up inside Ponce right now, like, yeah, to where all the houses are, I've been doing very, very well on pretty nice-sized mangrove snappers.
Okay.
I've been hitting all the corner lots.
Well, that's where we're at right now in PGI. Mangrove snapper on the corner lots with docks. And, yeah, there's a lot of fish back up in PGI right now. Those canals are dredged,
yep,
so they stay a bit deeper than and so that deeper water, salt's so peculiar, salt water, because it takes a lot for it to actually freeze, and the water can get 30, 29, 28 degrees and it doesn't freeze, it kills everything. And but it takes a long time for the cold to penetrate down. Every foot down takes another couple of days to get to. And now, after this cold weather for this week or so, that cold water is down 5 feet, 4 or 5 feet. If you can get into 6 or 8 feet of water, it's 10 degrees warmer, mm-hmm, than what it is closer to the surface. Think of it, if you've ever been fishing in a freshwater lake and you're swimming along, the water's nice and warm, and then you go to tread water vertically with your feet straight down, and your feet go, wow, that's cold.
Yep.
It's real cold down there. And even though it's been hot for a long time, that water's real cold. It does the exact same thing, but opposite, when it gets cold in salt water. As that first foot gets cold very quickly, then 2 feet, 3, 4, it takes a long, long time for it to get really, really cold down 6 feet deep.
Yep.
So, you know, that's a good trick for you. You really, the deeper the water in that you can find, the more likely the fish are to eat, the more likely they are active.
I've been actually doing very well on trolling in the canals, inside ponds in the PGI canals for the snook.
Really?
I'm trolling those storm paddle tails as slow as I control so that they're really deep. And we've been catching a lot of snook that way. It's got to be a very, very slow troll. Your bait has to be down low. Just like you were saying, it's warmer in the deeper water in the canals. We've been doing very well on the snook in there. Like, we've been doing so well trolling, I haven't even tried working a trolling motor pitching at docks.
Yeah, if you can get that down around 1, maybe even 2 miles an hour and troll them baits deep like that, you can do really good on the snook, because they're looking for something small and slow moving.
Yep.
They don't want the big stuff because they can't digest it. There's not enough warmth in the water for them to digest bigger meals. Smaller baits.
And yeah, I'm using really a 3-inch storm paddle tails.
Yep, the 3-inch is about as big as you're going to get them to eat, and it's got to be going slow so they can... Okay, here it comes, there it is, all right, I'm going to go eat it, and it's all a very slow process, so...
Because, like, what, be honest, what I'm doing is I have my trolling motor in the water, and I have the iPad, so I have the screen on my trolling motor remote, and it tells me my speed, you know, when you're moving, and that's how I'm basing, you know, getting my troll speed right. I'm just under two miles an hour.
All right. Gilcrest Pier, what's going on there?
They've been catching a few random black drum, but other than that, it's been pretty quiet.
Yeah, I should have brought that heater in. My fingers are getting stiffer by the minute. I mean, my fingers just aren't moving. I go to type and it's like thunk, thunk. I hit 4 keys at once. All right, Alligator Creek Reef. You know, anybody's been out there?
Richie.
Yeah?
He's been still whacking the cobia.
Okay.
I don't know what that man's got on cobia, but he's got them things figured out. He comes in for 6 dozen shrimp a day and a couple rattle traps. And be honest with you, there's a lot of small trout there. I went out there a couple times this past week, you know, trying to get on the cobia, and we couldn't get past like the 12 to 13 inch trout.
Trout and sheephead?
I haven't caught no sheephead. I've been catching all small trout.
Any snappers still going off out there?
I haven't got none of them either.
Got it. Right. Well, that's really misspelled, but they'll get the idea. All right, deep holes in the harbor. Anything out there?
Catfish.
Really? There's still catfish out there?
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to, you can help me with this. This year, we're going to, I'm going to go out, catch some ladyfish. We're going to find a good recipe for ladyfish. Ladyfish, stingrays, and catfish, I'm going to do up some recipes for. Because there are three things that you can get quite a few of. And, you know, I know how to fillet them all and all that. I just need a couple good recipes for it.
Be honest with you, I mean, catfish, they put up a good fight.
Well, I keep saying, and I watch on the boat when I'm with people, you know, oh, look at that, what do you got? Oh, there's that, looks like a redfish, maybe it's this, maybe it's that, and it's fighting, and then all of a sudden you see the rod go bump, 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 bump. Oh, it's a catfish. And gets so deflated. Yeah. You know, as long as you got the right gripper, they're easy to catch, easy to deal with, without a catfish gripper, they're a pain, and I don't encourage you.
No.
But if you've got the gripper, I mean, they're just fun. And they're a lot of excitement and good meat, so easy to fillet. So
yeah, I'm gonna, I mean, they put up a good fight.
I'm going to work on getting some recipes for that, and because I already know one that I use, but I want to try some other stuff.
See, I've heard of people eating stingrays and catfish, but I haven't heard about the ladyfish.
Yeah, I've been hearing more and more about it. Because people don't know what is good and what's bad. And sometimes we take for granted that, okay, this is not a good eating fish. And it's just because we're told that so long. I mean, Jack Crevel, the best smoked fish I've ever had. You know, once I had it smoked, I was like, that's literally my favorite smoked fish. I've never had anything better. It's way better than swordfish smoked. I mean, it's amazing. So anyway, but going on to the bait reports, any white bait anywhere?
Yes, there is still some white bait out there.
Where's that?
Sitting in deep water, about 10 to 12 feet of water out in front of Turtle and Bull. Look around your Cape Hayes Reef. The other day it was all over it. It was just too cold for me to throw my net. But there was still good sized white bait there.
All right. Thread fins anywhere?
No, I haven't seen no thread fins.
All right. Pinfish.
You could go to Devilfish right now. And what I've been doing at Devilfish is I go up there, I mix three handfuls of chum. I throw one handful in right away. I go get my net. I come back to the front of the boat, throw one more handful in. I load my net up, and then I throw one more handful. And I've been getting about 200 pinfish.
Okay.
Devilfish is loaded up with pinfish right now.
All right.
Also out there by Bird, and out in front of the boat ramp in Boca, there's a lot of pinfish on Bird too. They've been on about 3 to 5 feet of water.
Okay. Ladyfish?
There was a lot of ladyfish over there by Alligator Creek Reef. Between Alligator Creek Reef and Alligator Creek, there was all the ladyfish you wanted.
All right. Any, what else do we do for bait? Okay. Pinfish. I don't know. Any other bait you can think of out there?
I mean, there's a lot of crabs out there right now.
Okay.
I mean, what I've been doing, to be honest, I've been having my landing net sitting on the deck while we're fishing throughout the day, because I'm seeing a lot of crabs on the bottom, so I'm just taking my landing net. And sometimes they are easy to catch, and sometimes they take off, and they're a real big pain in the butt, but there are a lot of crabs floating around and swimming around out there right now.
Okay. That would be on the east side.
Majority is on the east wall, yes.
Okay. Okay, T. You are, I'm getting so cold my brain don't work. Can't remember. I mean, I'm bad enough with spelling the way it is. And then that. Okay, freshwater reports. Crappie bite is good off Beacon Street.
Oh, you got a place?
Yeah.
Wow, nobody would give up their spots this whole week.
No.
They just say they're going off, but they won't tell us where.
Yep. Beacon and out on the 9 Mile. Bass fishing, I know they're buying shiners. I haven't, anything else going on with bass fishing?
I know, the people that I've talked to, I know 4 or 5 people have been doing a lot on 9 Mile bass fishing. They've been throwing a lot of black and purple worms. Bouncing them off the bottom with bullet weights.
Rigged. Boy, I got a lot of spell correcting to do on that. anything else going on in freshwater?
No, not that I've heard of. Actually, Cecil Webb. I did actually hear about the crappie doing pretty good in there. That is the only spot that I got out of all the people that I've talked to.
Okay. All right. And that takes us into the tarpon reports. What do we got? Tarpon in the Port Charlotte canals.
Port Charlotte canals. There's still some in the PGI canals. They seem to be all the way at the back end, like your dead end canals. And then there's still quite a few tarpon up the river. Peace River.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They've been a little bit further up towards the campground. The RV, I think it's, what is that, Yogi Bear?
Riverside.
Riverside. Yep.
Park to the... Okay. Anywhere else you can heard of any tarpon or anything?
I heard that there was some out there in, what is that, Coral Creek?
Yeah.
I haven't got to look at them, went up there and check, but I've had two people that fish on John boats that said there was a lot up in Coral Creek, like way up Coral Creek.
Okay. Luckily, that brings us to the end of the reports, because my fingers are just absolutely not working at all right now. So, all in all, in general, going to load this. Go up. It's one thing, the reason I started doing the website myself was everybody always said, well, just tell me what you want, you know, email me what you want me to put up, and I'll put it up. Literally, I highlight that. Click that button and it loads it up onto the internet. I mean, so much why easier. Am I paying somebody to do that? It's so much easier. And, you know, but I still use an old program. I'm using FrontPage. And if you're out there and you used to use FrontPage, because most of us old folks do, GoDaddy will set it up. You just have to tell me you want it as an HTML site. You know, you can't use all the front page features, but you can still use it as a website, and it's so much easier.
Simple.
And the new programs are so restrictive. If you're really smart, you got like Dreamweaver and all these great programs, but for when you get these site building things from the internet companies, it's just a block layout, and you can't do anything with it. Everybody's all look the same nowadays, because they're all using that, you know, pre-made drag and drop stuff. That's why this one still looks different, because this was the very first web building program ever invented. So, and just like me, I was there. I remember bulletin boards. I was into computers when it was DOS and bulletin boards. And that meant one computer, you'd hook your computer to the phone line, it would call another computer over the phone line, and you could get files and share stuff that way. There was no internet, and if you were really into it, you would have two or even three or more phone lines connected to your computer, so multiple people could call in and call out, and my computer could dial that computer could dial another one to find stuff, and literally you would go computer, 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 looking for files and stuff.
Wow.
It was pretty cool. But, you know, that was back with C:\. You know, you had to type everything in. You didn't just click the little names and stuff.
No autocorrect?
No, I mean, and you literally had to type in the command you wanted the computer to do. You couldn't just click a button. You know, Windows hadn't been invented at that point. So, you know, it's easier now, but, you know, I don't know. Anyway, as it goes on, so your best overall generic thing on what's going on with the fishing right now, if you were going to advise somebody out, because you're booked up. Do you have any open days coming up?
Tuesday I do.
Okay, so you've got one day that people can get it. What's your phone number, Carl?
941-565-7325.
565-7325. 941-565-7325. Carl has one open day coming up next week. If you want to get out on a charter, if you're an Eskimo, or if you have Eskimo blood, go on one of those DNA sites and find out, you know, how extreme cold you want to get.
You'll probably be laughing all day at me, how many layers I have on, because I look like an Eskimo.
I've got a frog tog jacket up there we'll have to get you that really cuts the wind down. They're light and they keep you a lot warmer. I mean, I'm using the SPF shirt, the cotton t-shirt, and then the frog tog jacket over it. Usually, and then sometimes it gets cold enough where I got to put a sweatshirt on over my t-shirt, between the t-shirt and the frog tog. But the frog tog keeps that wind down. The wind can't get through it. And that's where I get cold, is when the wind starts blowing on me. And it's funny, because when I grew up, I remember being cold in the fall, but then we'd get these big winter things, and there'd be 2-3 feet of snow, and get hit 40 degrees, 45 degrees, take the motorcycles out, and ride around on motorcycles, you know, in a flannel shirt and jeans, riding a motorcycle around in 40-some degrees. But when you're used to minus 10 and 20s, and, you know, and then all of a sudden it hits 40, that's a heat wave.
Yeah,
I can't remember the name of my girlfriend at the time, but we'd be riding around, and I used to ride old Limey bikes, the BSA's Triumphs, I wrote a lot of those, and we'd be riding around town 40 some degrees and you just never thought anything of it. And now I would die.
Yeah,
I would literally probably have a heart attack. I'd be shivering on the side of the road in the throes of death. I've thought about ice fishing this morning. I'll bet you I could have got one tray, maybe even two trays.
Yeah.
You could have caught some ice around. But it's supposed to be in the 50s tomorrow morning, not the 30s.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that.
No, I'm not.
Well, hey, it's better than in the 30s. It's been in the 30s every morning. Tomorrow it's supposed to be in the 50s.
Yeah.
And it's going to be up back in the 70s and 80s next week.
77 I think is the highest, but we have another cold front coming in the next week.
So, all right. But anyway, so we got a week of wonderful weather. Don't go fishing early.
No.
The fish are too lethargic first thing in the morning. Wait till go. We've got a lot of great breakfast joints in town here. Go out and have some breakfast, relax, get the boat ready, and then be on the water, you know, leaving between 9 and 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And your fishing is going to be the best it's going to start getting better between 9 and 10 o'clock in the morning. Around 10 o'clock, the fishing should start getting good.
Also, start on the west side. You know, the sun's going to warm up the west side a lot faster than the east side will.
Yeah, because the shadows on the east side are going to keep that water. It's going to take longer for the sun to get over to the top of the trees. The west side of the harbor is right in the direct sun as soon as the sun comes up.
As the day goes on, then you can slide over to the east side.
Yeah, so fish the west side of a bay first or the harbor, and then work your way as the day wears on over towards the east sides.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's in Bull Bay. You can start with the west side by the Eagles Cut and work your way over to the eastern side of it. But
and work everything slow.
Yeah.
Slow as you can right now.
Very light jig heads and very slow cranking. No twitching or jerking. Maybe in a long cast, I would probably twitch it or jerk it two or three times at the most. Yep. Mostly what you want it to do is just go slow, give the fish time to catch it. Now is a great time to use the scents. As everybody knows, I love the Strike King coffee scent. Works really good, and my boat doesn't stink anymore. But whether it's Procure or a bass scent, get some kind of scent on there to get the human smell off, because as these fish are coming up very slow behind a very slow moving bait, they get a lot of time to smell it. If it smells like straight out plastic, they're going to veer off.
Yep.
I mean, at least half the time. So now's the time when you want to use some kind of smell, and it's not to make it smell more like a bait, it's to make it smell less like humans handled it.
Exactly.
And less like plastic. So, you know, really good point you brought up, Carl. All right, this is Fish and Frank in the chair. That's Carl in the chair across from me. Anything else that we need to go over here?
No, I mean, just go out there, have fun, be safe, and, you know, go eat breakfast in the morning and take your time getting on the water.
Okay, and I guess that's going to wrap up the Area Fishing Report. I got a new logo for 2018. We move all the tarpon pages. We're moving a lot of the stuff over to single pages, which, you know, is going to make it easier. Computers are fast enough. Now, used to be I had to worry that the page wouldn't load. And, you know, now we can put so much on one page. I'm even thinking possibly about putting all of the radio fishing stuff on one page by the year, so you can just scroll down that one page and go back to all the other ones and get rid of all the extra pages.
Yeah.
So try and consolidate down a little bit. I'm going to try that, see if it works. And if it doesn't, then I can just take them back off.
Sounds like it'll work pretty good.
So anyway, boys and girls, thank you for listening. Fish and Frank and Chair, Carl and Chair across from me, and we'll catch you on the next
radio. Come see us at the boat show.
Oh, yeah, that's right. This week, Charlotte County Boat Show. Fishing seminars all day, every day on the half an hour. And we got Carl there. Myself will be there. Robert, if he's not dead, you know, he's been pretty sick. Captain Mike Myers is going to probably stop by. I think Captain Kale will be there. Barb, me, the wife, Terry. We got a bunch of us going to be up there. We were going to be outside this year. First time we're not in the building.
Uh-oh.
So we're in tents.
At least it's going to be a little warmer next week.
So I'm hoping that he's got us sent up so that in the morning we're in the sunshine.
Yeah.
So we're going to find out when we get up there. I'm going to run up there on Tuesday and see if I can direct where to put my tent.
If not, we might have a bunch of heaters around because I probably will put some up.
Oh, I'm bringing the fire pits. I have those portable fireplaces. Yes. We're bringing those with us. All right. Anyway, boys and girls, Fish and Frank and Captain Carl, and probably next week Robert will be back when he's not sick. So catch you on the next Radio Fishing. Bye-bye.